Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The major leaders of Europe, Mr. Schulz of Germany, Mr. Sunak of Great Britain, Mr. Macron of France, Ms. Meloni of Italy, have all called on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel in sympathy and unanimity for the threat represented by the killers of Hamas. At the same time, these four leaders are intimately involved in the success, if there is to be one, in Ukraine against the Russian aggressor. The President of the United States, in an Oval Office speech, addressed these matters, a two-front war. I have Gerard Baker for the Wall Street Journal. His column today says, bluntly, the scale of the threat. He writes, not since the worst days of the Cold War, perhaps not since the 1930s, have we faced such a combination of threats to our freedom and prosperity, to our very existence. A touching faith in the supposed universality of our ideals and the inevitable rightness of our cause won't save us. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, who's been in the correct rooms for leaders to take charge of a crisis. We're in one. President of the United States in his Oval Office address was blunt about that. He needs a great deal of money from a Congress that is not now functioning in an orderly fashion. At the same time, he needs the American people to understand the challenge in Ukraine, in the Middle East, and the possibility, the very likelihood of a wider war that could include a war in East Asia. Mary, a very good evening to you. How did you hear the president's speech? We've been talking about that speech for weeks. It seemed like it had been written for us about Ukraine, and then all of a sudden, the October 7th tragedy showed up. Did it all go together for you, Mary? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. I think it's good that the president addressed the American people about the proliferating threats that we've talked about at length on your program. However, he didn't identify the root cause of the war in Israel, which is, of course, the Islamic Republic of Iran. It didn't factor at all into his discussion. And so from my end, I was disappointed that the president wasn't yet willing to admit that his policy toward Tehran, a policy of appeasement, has not only failed to work, but it has resulted in the deaths of thousands of Israelis, more than 30 Americans, Palestinian civilians who are being, of course, used as shields by the terrorist group Hamas. And that is the fundamental contradiction that the president and his advisors have to grapple with. And they're not showing any indication that they're serious at all about changing direction. We haven't seen, for instance, a reimposition of significant oil sanctions on Iran. We haven't seen secondary sanctions on companies that do business with Tehran. We haven't seen a serious effort at the UN to snap back sanctions on Iran. We haven't seen a crackdown on the financiers of Hamas, which, by the way, is a global terror group, something that the Foundation for Defense of Democracies has done very well to highlight. That's a very important thing to know. I think we're used to talking about these groups as if they're regional actors, and that's not true. They derive support and succor from nations as far away as East Asia. So while it's good, and we should give him credit for going on air and starting to explain to the American people the gravity of the situation we find ourselves in, I don't think it was a particularly honest speech because it didn't really grapple with the root of the problem, which is eroding U.S. deterrence and appeasement of Iran. And those things go hand in hand.
We go to it's a two-front war. We go to Israel first. Fog of war here. The Gaza killers, the Hamas killers, remain hidden in tunnels and using human shields. Not only the hostages, but the Palestinian people who lived in Gaza, who still live in Gaza, to prevent in some fashion the Israeli offensive going forward without major civilian casualties. The White House has expressed anxiety, so have members of the European Union, the leaders themselves, about the risks of Gaza. I want to include, Mary, the risks of the wider war. Large parts of the north of Israel have been evacuated in the eventuality that Hezbollah opens fire with its rockets, some of them very good missiles that can hit what they want. At the same time, the U.S. fleet, several fleets, as I understand, are in the eastern Mediterranean, and they're there with weapon systems that can prevent Iran from firing a ballistic missile at Israel, at Jerusalem, in some fashion. We are on the edge of something far worse than we've experienced so far. There was a meeting in Cairo on Saturday, as you know, Mary, called by President al-Sisi, looking to avoid the wider war. Did the president's speech satisfy those who would be our enemies that we will act? Did you believe he would shoot in the eventuality that Iran shoots?
No. He says, if you're thinking of taking advantage of the situation, don't. Well, don't what? What are we going to do? Diplomacy isn't just about rhetoric. It's about the action that backs up the rhetoric. And there's no threat here. And also, let's add in the conflicting signal of the United States and our allies sending aid into Gaza. That may look good for domestic political posturing, but everybody knows that that aid is going to go to Hamas. That's why Israel refuses to send fuel into the Strip. But in terms of the wider war that you cite, John, I think we have to widen the frame past Israel and note that U.S. forces and U.S. interests have been under sustained attack in Iraq and in Syria for years. And those attacks are accelerating. They've already resulted in the death of an American in Syria and in Kurdistan and in Kurdish region in Iraq. There was no U.S. response to those killings. And now you see a U.S. naval ship engaging for 9 hours to stop Houthi rockets from being fired toward Israel and drones. You've seen sustained attacks on our 900 troops in eastern Syria. I think it's a miracle that more Americans haven't been killed already. I mean, God forbid that happens. But that wider war, to my mind, is already here. And you have DOD on high alert. The State Department put out a travel advisory for Iraq that was unlike anything I've ever seen, essentially saying, if you're going to travel to Iraq as an American, you better have your will prepared. I mean, it was a remarkable statement. And it just tells you that there is something bigger here going on in Iraq and Syria, attacks against Americans, not to mention, as I said earlier, the 30-plus Americans who have already been killed in Israel. So this is our war because they're targeting us. Iran and its proxies are targeting us. So, again, I'm just looking to the White House. And look, I understand that they want to tiptoe softly, softly. Nobody wants a broader war. The problem is that they don't understand that appeasing a revolutionary jihadist regime of Iran, a regime that aims not just to spread the revolution, but to exterminate Israel and to kill us, can't be appeased. They just haven't figured that out yet. It boggles my mind.
There are reports, not anything that I can read consistently, that the White House is preparing to evacuate Americans from Israel. And I don't know the numbers. It can be tens of thousands. It can be 1,000 or more. This would be, in part, the State Department's burden. It's called a non-combatant evacuation operation, a NEO. We saw a piece of it in Kabul. This would be the first order of business for the State Department, Mary, and they would be getting ready now. Is that correct? They'd be taking names and lists. People would be calling in to ask what are the preparations to be evacuated. Would that be happening now?
I think we have discussed this on prior programs, but it's worth repeating that under the Trump State Department, where I served, Secretary Pompeo and others set up an entire bureau dedicated to just these sorts of evacuations. They did it in the middle of COVID. The United States, thanks to the secretary's leadership, brought back tens of thousands of Americans from every corner of the world. We had an enormous capacity to move people out of harm's way. When President Biden and Secretary of State Anthony Blinken took office, they disbanded it. They said, yeah, we don't need it anymore. And then Afghanistan happened, And you could see that we had lost that capacity that we had built up to evacuate Americans and our allies. And you can see it here. All of that connectivity that we had made with the Defense Department and their assets and with, you know, commercial carriers like, American Airlines or Delta or aircraft, airplanes like that, that just all went away because the current administration said, yeah, it was the prior administration's effort. Therefore, it's bad. Therefore, we got to get rid of it. Forget about the utility of it. We'll just get rid of it. Very political decision, not a pragmatic decision. And now I think, unfortunately, you're seeing the consequence of that. But just to get back, John, to the main point I want to make, while I understand the reticence to see civilians killed, the reality is that terrorist group named Hamas, backed by Iran, launched an unprovoked attack on civilians in Israel, killed, maimed, beheaded, terrorized, raped, you name it, thousands of people. And Israel has the right to respond. Indeed, Israel has a duty to respond. This is a genocidal group that wants to eradicate all the Jews. And even under international law, there is a requirement to prevent that from happening again. And the unfortunate fact is that civilians die in war. Israel does more than any other nation to warn civilians before it strikes. But I think what you're seeing on the part of the White House is not only do they refuse to acknowledge that their appeasement of Iran has contributed to these deaths, but they're refusing to acknowledge the realities of conflict, which is that some of these civilian deaths are unfortunately, very unfortunately, something that you can't avoid. And the people who are responsible for that are not the people who were attacked, but the people who launched the attack, Hamas. Hamas should be held responsible for these deaths if and when they do occur.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Patrick.